This morning's devotion comes out of the recent revelations of the moral failures of some high-profile church leaders. I'm not going to address those directly, nor am I going to speak into the way the Christian community as a whole has handled or has not handled them. But there is great sorrow as well as deep sympathy for those caught up in sin's snare, the innocent taken advantage of, and the families broken as a result of what has happened. But what I'd like to speak about this morning is our own response to these moral failures. My first response, aside from the obvious disappointment, was one of deep personal repentance, a realization that the same sinful nature that led to these heinous acts is also in me. Paul puts it this way in his letter to the Romans. I'll read from chapter 7, verse 18. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now, if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is the sin living in me that does it. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. Wow. Paul, the author of 2/3 of the New Testament, wrestling with this war within him, of his desire to do what is good and God-honoring against the sinful nature inside of him. This wrestle, this war, exists within each of us. If we are honest with ourselves, we'll acknowledge that we can't even keep our own moral standards, let alone those of God. This scripture, along with these recent revelations, really humble me. I realize that in my own strength, I am the wretched man Paul writes about. I am the wretched man we are all ashamed of. But there is comfort. Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 4, and this is reading from the Amplified Translation, "Blessed, that is, forgiven, refreshed by God's grace, are those who mourn over their sins and repent, for they will be comforted when the burden of sin is lifted." Jesus gives a promise of blessing to those who mourn their own sinful nature, for they will receive comfort when the burden of sin is lifted. And through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, that burden of sin has been lifted. I read Romans 7 earlier up to the point that Paul concluded, "What a wretched man I am." But he doesn't end there. Paul goes on to say from verse 24, "Who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, I myself in my mind am a slave to God, but in my sinful nature, a slave to the law of sin." Therefore, the big hinge word, therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise God. In Christ Jesus, we now have no condemnation for this sinful nature within us. And we are not controlled by this sinful nature. Instead, we are given a new nature. Romans 8 goes on to say that you are not controlled by the sinful nature, but are living by the Spirit. If Christ lives in you, though your natural body is dead because of sin, your spirit is alive because of righteousness through Christ. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. This passage of Scripture tells us that though there is a war that wages within us between God's law and the sinful nature, we are not controlled by the sinful nature. Instead, God's Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ Jesus from the dead, gives us a new nature led by the Spirit of God. This is of major significance and worthy of great joy, that we are not stuck as slaves to sin, but instead have become slaves to righteousness, as Paul writes earlier in Romans. This Spirit that leads us does not leave us as slaves, but instead has brought about our adoption to sonship, so that we are now called the children of God. And if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. My encouragement to us this morning is whilst we celebrate that we are children of God, that we remain completely humble, reminding ourselves of what Paul wrote in Romans 3, that there is no difference between us, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. As we mourn and repent over our own sinful nature, Jesus promises us the blessing of being comforted. For as Romans 3 goes on to say, just as all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, so too all are justified freely by God's grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. Our comfort comes in knowing that the burden of sin has been lifted in Christ, and that we are no longer controlled by our sinful nature, but instead are led by God's Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. As we enter the day and the week ahead, my prayer for us is that we will remember with humble thanksgiving that it is by God's grace alone that He has made us children of God. That truly in our own nature we are subject to death, but thanks be to God who has delivered us through Christ Jesus our Lord and made us children of God. As children of God, may we remain merciful and helpful to those who are struggling. For Jesus said, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy." As Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye?" When a brother or sister in the faith is caught in sin, may we who live by the Spirit restore them gently, as we are encouraged to do in Galatians 6, verse 1. One of the fruits of the Spirit is gentleness, and Jesus said, "Blessed are the gentle, for they will inherit the earth." Paul writes in Romans 15, "We who are strong in the faith ought to bear with the failings of those who are weak in the faith, and not just please ourselves. Each of us should please our neighbors for their good, to build them up." May our love for God and our love for others be put into action in humility, carrying each other's burdens, and in this way fulfilling the law of Christ. I realize that this is a heavy topic for a Monday morning and is one that could be unpacked over many coffees and many hours. However, it has been pressing on my heart this week, and I hope that this has helped you in some way as it has helped me position my own thoughts and my own heart. Let us close in prayer. Father, we thank you that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. We thank you that you have made the way of the cross to be the way of life. Holy Spirit, we invite you to transform us into our new nature, our born-again nature, taking on the nature of Christ with our hearts and our minds set on what the Spirit desires. Jesus, teach us, we pray, to remain humble, that we may deal with our brothers and sisters gently, not pleasing ourselves, but instead building each other up, carrying one another's burdens, and therefore fulfilling the law of Christ. We thank you, Jesus, that you have carried the ultimate burden of our sin, and through your death, burial, and resurrection, we have life and life in all its fullness, both now and for all eternity, as children of God. We give thanks for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.